What's up? What's up? Welcome back, guys. You are now kicking it with Cornelius and Courtney. And this is part two of the series that we're doing on How to Fight Fair, I think it was called. So last week we were talking about the top five reasons that couples argue or get divorced. And those reasons were sex, money, kids, extended family, and housework. We pretty much covered all of them except for sex and kids. We were still kind of halfway talking about. So
I think sex we kind of talked about in a previous episode. So like, instead of us going too deep in that, y'all can go back and look at the other episode we talked about. But on a sex tip, though, one thing I think we didn't talk about was, like, just because you're in a relationship, you know, or married or whatever, don't mean that you could just push yourself up on your partner. You feel me? Like, there's still got to be boundaries on that. And, you know what I mean? Like, y'all got to be able to respect each other's personal space still.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, speaking on that subject, though, it's kind of hard when people have two different sex drives. Like, when one person wants it all the time or more than the other person wants it, because then I feel like it's kind of hard to meet in the middle.
It is, but no still means no. And
yeah, of course.
Just because you're in a relationship, you know what I mean, you could still theoretically, you know, by forcing yourself or putting yourself against somebody else's will, that's still rape, whether you're married or not, whether you're in a serious relationship or not. So if your partner ain't in the mood, then, you know, hey, you just got to fall back. You know, have that conversation maturely, of course, but try to find a way to meet in the middle.
So next we'll talk about the what's called the 7-year itch. They call it this because scientists and different people who study marriage, therapists and things, they find that around 7 years is when you typically start to get bored because you fall into a routine with kids and bills and everything else. So I don't know. Do you think that we had the 7-year itch?
I wasn't not around 7 years, but we did get a point where we got close to it.
I don't know if it was. I think it probably was at maybe around 10 years, because yeah. I don't feel like it was that long ago. Maybe around 10 years ago. That's what we talked about in a previous episode. I think in episode one, where we were talking about how I told him I felt like we were just too friendly and too familiar, and there was no like romance happening there. So we started going on date nights to kind of bring that spark back. And so far, I feel like that's been good, right, babe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think. Well, I mean, we have romance. It just is like real friendly and goofy and not like romantic.
We had romance, but it wasn't romantic.
Yeah. We had romance activities.
Yeah.
Without the romantic experience.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. So, yeah, that definitely can happen in a marriage. You got, and I think it's important to be able to say that too, like to say, I'm bored. We used to do this and this, and we don't do this anymore. Or you used to do this, and you don't do it anymore. Like, I think it's best to just say it. Because sometimes, like, I don't know why in the beginning of our marriage, like, you used to always just tell me, like, I'm not a mind reader. Like, you have to say it. And I'd be like, I shouldn't have to say it. You should just know. Like, I'm pretty sure in a relationship, there's always that one person who feels like the other one should just know. And, you know, they don't, I guess, unless you say it.
That's the quickest way to get let down.
By expecting someone to just know something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
Like, if it's not talked about and it's not like a... So, people's emotions change constantly. You know what I mean? Like, one day you could feel like doing something, the next day you could not. Like, so with the fluctuation of life, how is it that a person is just automatically supposed to always know what the other person feel, think?
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes I find that, well, when I told you that I felt it was like that, were you starting to feel that our marriage was like that too?
I mean, I noticed that there was a shift.
But it didn't bother you?
I didn't pay much attention, to be honest. I just kind of was like rolling with it, I guess.
Like, this is where we at right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm always like, I'm the kind of girl who has to like feel it. I want to feel like in love at all times. Like, that's important to me. Because I feel like, especially, like, with your partner, your husband, your spouse, whatever, you just want to feel like that person is, like, your biggest fan, your best friend. And I feel like Jay-Z said it best when he said, like, nobody wins when the family feuds. Like, it's so true. Like, when you arguing with your spouse, like, the whole household is affected. Like, nobody wins from that.
Stop saying like so much.
Stop saying like so much.
Yeah.
I just gave that whole wonderful speech and that's what you had to say.
I got wrapped up on like.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a habit.
No, I mean, I agree. Relationships is a lot of work. People don't talk about that. Like, you know, you see it on TV. And it's this idea that everything is always perfect and everything is always easy and you're always happy. And that ain't reality. You know what I'm saying? Like, not for a majority of people. Like, there's some days where you don't feel like being bothered. Mm-hmm. But you're still in a relationship. So you got to open up your time for other people's time. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's the, what do you call the give and take.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to just let something go for the bigger picture of the relationship.
I don't know, but that can be like an argument too, or the cause of many fights too, because at what point do you sacrifice too much of yourself? Like, okay, like this, I'm going to give you an example. Like, I want you to stay home, but you want to go out because, like, you feel like you always home. So you just want to go out with your boys or go do whatever, and I want you to stay home. Like, at what point do you keep sacrificing not going out? You get what I'm saying? To make your spouse happy when you want to go out. Or at what point does the one person say, oh, it's okay, you could do whatever you want? You get what I'm saying? Where's the balance in that, do you think?
That is a very difficult one, actually. Because now that we're talking about that,
mm-hmm.
I guess, theoretically, to be fully accepted, you should never sacrifice who you are.
Mm.
Right? I guess that would be... I think each relationship is different. And if you're finding yourself in a position where you always going out, hanging out with the guys, and then there's turmoil in the house, get to the root of it. Because you going out, hanging out with the guys... may just be a surface level thing. The root may be you not spending enough adequate time with your partner.
Mm.
So maybe addressing the issue that way. Because if you're spending enough adequate time, the person may not feel, you know, not seen or absent, and then may in turn not care that the guy is hanging out with guys, doing guys' things.
Yeah.
Or it could be the group of guys you're hanging out with. Could be the problem, right? It could be a historical background there that every time this said group of dudes get together, these activities typically occur.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always, it's I think the...
I get what you're saying. Like, then that could be the deeper roots, so that could be trust.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it's tough. It made me think about, like, when me and my husband first got married, like, we got married at 19 years old. And I was raised, you know, minister's daughter here. And I guess I'll say, like, I was always type of person who, like, dye my hair, wear my hair crazy colors, cut it off. Like, that was always me. But I couldn't explore, like, my, I guess you could say, dress code to a certain extent. Because at the same time, my mom didn't play that. You know, you as a kid, dress like a kid, as she should. We're the same way with our daughters. But... the point that I'm making is we started to grow and get older and older. Then I started exploring the way that I dress, and I started wearing, like, crop tops and stuff like that. And at first, like...
Shorter shorts.
Well, shorts in period, you know, shorts in general, because before I never even wore shorts. So shorts in general. So, like, at first he was just like, what is happening? And
more
I think...
More cleavage.
Yeah.
No bra.
No bra. Yeah, I'm barely wearing a bra. Like, that's just, I know y'all probably like, what? But to know us is to know that this is true. And my husband, he's like, he pretty modest. You get what I'm saying? So he just recently started, like, working on the car. He used to be having on t-shirts and, like, getting, like, overheated and stuff. And I'm like, why you don't wear a tank top? He didn't even wear, like, a tank top outside and stuff like that. So at first, like, that was like, did we argue about it at any point?
We?
I can't argue by myself. He always say that, like, I argue by myself. No, we, sir, we. Even if you stop talking, it's still we. We in this together. So, yeah, I think, like, for a long time, that, like, that was, like, a thing until eventually he was like, you know what? I don't care. He was like, we ain't gonna get divorced over it, so I no longer care. And I ain't know, like, if it was a trick or something, like a setup. But he was like, no, I literally, like, just don't care. But I say that to be transparent and say, like, there can be, like, dressing or whatever it is. But the point in the question that I guess I'm just trying to ask in all of it is, when do you sacrifice for what your spouse wants? And when do you just let your spouse be your spouse?
But then that was a conversation that we had to have about that, too. You mm-hmm. know, for me, like, growing up, shawty's who dressed, like, open, mm-hmm. I guess we could say, right? I was under the impression that it was for an intention thing. Mm-hmm. And through our conversation, come to find out, it ain't always about that. But though that is true, the experience that I've had was different from the experience you was trying to share with me.
Yeah.
So that created a disagreement, right? A little mm-hmm. bit of a turmoil, because we just couldn't get on the same page with that.
Right.
So then at what point do you continue to circle the fence or just change the path? And after a while, it's tired of talking about the same thing. Two, you weren't going to change. So what do we do?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a difficult one. I would love to hear from you guys, like, in the comments. Let us know, like, if there's a example of something like that you had to sacrifice. We've been getting ready to move, and we haven't, thank God, I was just like literally on my knees praying yesterday, thanking God for this. We're in a transition of my husband getting out of the military, and we're getting ready to move, and we have not argued this move. And I say that because I realize every single time it gets around time for us to like move somewhere, in the past, like every 3 years, we would have a bad argument. And now that I look back, I notice because we would argue, and it would be the root of it. Like the last move, I feel like he said, you know, this is because we're getting ready to move, right? And it was like for the first time we realized like that we argue around that time every time it's time to move.
We
he act like he don't have no part in it, but he, trust me, y'all, he got a mouth on him. That one got a mouth on him. He not all innocent. People be thinking you just quiet. I just be bothering you. But anyways, we're getting ready to move, and I'm so grateful because this time we just like really communicating really well with the move coming up. And I just feel like what I'm trying to say is, different times in your life when you're going through things, it can cause arguments due to just stress,
yeah
of whatever's going on, whether that be money, kids, whatever. But like you said, like sometimes you be arguing about stupid stuff like, you left this over here or you left this over here. But it's not even about that. It's about all the underlying causes of things that mm-hmm. you guys haven't dealt with yet. So I definitely think that the 7-year itch is a real thing, but I don't feel like you have to have it at 7 years. Like you said, it could be year 10, 12.
One, even.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't hit our... So we got married, and then I went right back to Iraq. And then came back, and they was like, okay, we'll hit our honeymoon. We didn't go on a honeymoon for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right, 12 years?
Yeah, 12.
12 years. So, like, just everybody's relationship looks different. You feel what I'm saying? And, like, everybody always doing this comparison about, like, oh, you should be like this between year one and this.
Mm-hmm.
Hell took place in our relationship for the first lot of years.
Like 4 or 5.
And then ours was a little bit reversed. You know what I mean? As we got a little bit more older, better communicating, our relationship began to get better. And, you know, a lot of people talk about the honeymoon phase. I feel like we missed that altogether.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like as soon as we jumped in, it was like going at it. Like those first couple years are just like crazy. It really was. But I think honestly, we hit a point. I don't remember what happened, but we literally were just like, we're not going to get divorced. And I think once we like put that in our head that like he always used to tell me like, if it's not worth getting divorced over, then it's just like, it's not worth it. And it's true, because you ever like have a bad argument with your spouse or your partner, and you then afterwards you forget what y'all even fought for. You know everything about the fight, like the hurtful things that were said, but you forgot about what the fight was even for.
Which meant it didn't matter.
Right, which means it didn't matter to begin with. So I know when we I'm trying to think. When we argue, like when we've had a bad argument, I think it usually takes, for me, I'm going to say like 3 to 5 business days to heal. What about you?
Business days.
Yeah.
All right. So I never typically do, to be honest, if we want to talk about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think for me, with so much trauma and pain from childhood,
mm-hmm.
any hurtful thing to me sticks because it adds to that experience of what I've already had. And I always firmly believe a person who's drunk and a person who's angry would tell you how they truly feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I may forgive it, but it always is this underlying hurt that it was already said.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then I'm in my head about, well, dang, did they really mean it? Did they not mean it? So nah, it's just back and forth. And that just never, that never really go away.
Yeah. And that goes into what we were talking about on the first episode. The first episode of this series where we were talking about how to fight fair. Because if you intentionally hit below the belt or, I don't know, like, I hate to say it, but we be talking about, like, how people get into argument and they be like, oh, you with your little D self. You hear what I'm saying? Or like, oh, your junk wasn't even that good. But it's like, really? You know what I mean? Like, you weren't saying that in the act. Then afterwards, it's like you say all these things to hit below the belt, make it. You get what I'm saying? Like, hit the person where you think it's going to hurt them at.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that ain't fighting.
She's not talking about me, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just giving an example. Stop.
Have any of those issues.
So, but you guys get what I'm saying. Like, you've seen a couple that does that. That, like, go on Facebook and, like, drag the mess out of each other. And then the next day, they back together like nothing happened. It's like watching a reality TV show on your Facebook feed. It's ridiculous. So, I think, and that's another thing, too. Running the social media during an argument.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. I thank God I'm not married to somebody who do that because that
I really only use social media for, like, I try to use it for business. Mm-hmm. And then that fizzle out. And then, like, I use it for Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. I'm a social media person. I share parts of my life that I choose to share. I don't share my entire life because I wouldn't advise anybody to do that.
But that's what y'all got to realize, too. Like, stop thinking everything you see on social media is a person full story. People show with you what they want you to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw this challenge that I wanted to do, and it was the background behind a picture. And the girl was showing, like, all these photos that she took where she looked, like, super happy. And then she would write a caption and tell, like, what was really going on right before the picture happened or, like, something that was happening in her life. But she just had to keep creating content because she's a content creator.
Mm.
So you're right. Like, sometimes you compare, like, your life to that of, like, Facebook and Instagram. Instagram got girls feeling like they man's supposed to show up with 1,000 roses for Valentine's Day and fly her to Paris.
Right.
And you know your man can afford a car and a dinner at Red Lobster. So why is you pressuring this man?
Or McDonald's.
Our McDonald's, like, for real, like, know who you with. Like, why is you acting like just because you see it on Instagram, that's supposed to be what your partner does. Like, that's something really important that my mom always told me is, like, know your spouse. Like, she always said, can't nobody tell me about James Nelson. That's her husband. She'll say, can't nobody tell me about James Nelson. Because she knows him. Like, you can't really go to somebody else for advice when they don't know your spouse like that.
People hit me up on Facebook when I was doing the social media stuff for a business. And remember when I got in the back of the Maybach?
Mm-hmm.
And people said, oh, man, I see you doing good. You're in a Maybach. You got out of a Maybach. Then you got in an Audi.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you notice I stopped posting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there was a time, neither of those cars belonged to us.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a dealership looking at something else. But then, too, like, there was a point of time where, like, the McDonald's thing was us.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, I'll say, oh, I'm not hungry just to be able to get you food. But I wanted to eat too. You get what I'm saying? But we weren't financially in that position. So, like, sometimes, man, like, people look at where you at and don't look at what took to get there. You know, it's always a success that they want to look at. So they say. And then people are like, oh, you're doing good, you know, blah, 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 man. You have no idea what it took to get here.
Yeah, that's true. Because I guarantee you people probably, even in our own family, will probably listen to this and be like, what? For real? Because you just, like, never know. And we're the type of person where, like, when we're going through something, we're just going to disappear and then hustle and then just show back up.
Man, I remember taking a car back to the dealership to trade it in for another car just so we could skip that next month payment so we could have money.
Yeah.
Like, because we ain't had nothing.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, like, y'all got to be easy trying to put everything on, you feel me, social media or justifying or judging just because that's what you see because you just don't know.
Yeah,
there's a lot more in life than that photo you see.
Yeah, like the posting thing too. Like we was laughing because I think on an episode you even said that you was like, yeah, I was flirting with her on social media. And I was like, I thought that was sexy. And you was like, I know that's why I did it. Mm-hmm. But that's not who he is. Like he literally is not the guy who's going to be posting family pictures on his social media, like pictures on Valentine's Day anniversary. That he's like, no, like his private life is his private life, pretty much.
I don't even think my Facebook status say if I'm in a relationship or not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just there. Yeah, it's literally every once in a while, like, he'll post a meme. And then he'll have the audacity to post something, like, important, right, about business or just anything inspirational or something. And he'll say, why nobody liking my post? And I'm like, because you're never on there. Like, you're in no one's algorithm, bro.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if this is in your notes here or not, but we talked about this a couple of years back. Is there a such thing as there's only one person on this planet for you, or can you kind of like make it work with whoever you're with?
That was so random.
I mean, we're talking about fighting fair. We're talking about social media. We're talking about the influence of other people and what you see.
Yeah.
And lust is a big thing. You know, social media got people feeling like, I want bigger breasts. I want a smaller waist. I want bigger muscles. I want bigger biceps. I want a bald head. I want dreads. Like, social media got people feeling all kind of ways and don't really know how to be okay with themselves. So, like, can you really win with the one you got? I think yes. Because if you think about how many billions of people there are on the planet, you'll never truly run across all of those people.
I say it's possible to not win with the one you got because you could just be married to a douchebag.
Yeah, you could be.
Like, you could just have married wrong. Like, I honestly believe in being married to the wrong person.
Yeah, I mean, and that's signs, too. You know, it ain't like it just popped up. It showed itself.
Yeah. I mean, but, okay, with that being said, you're with the person, right, who you felt like was your soulmate. But at what point to the arguing do you feel like we was talking about how to fight fair and how to, like, get into a good place, but at what point is it when y'all call it quits?
Hmm.
When the arguing is too much, because arguing is stressful as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it is stressful. Like, don't nobody want to be arguing. Don't nobody want to come home. Your house is supposed to be your place of peace. Like, nobody want to come home and want to be arguing every damn day. So, at what point do you call that quits? In a marriage or just in a relationship, period?
I think when you know, you know. That's a cheapskate answer for me to say. But I think when you know, you know. And sometimes we get mixed in our emotions and we start battling our logic with the emotion and we try to override it and say, no, we could work this out. I'll give it one more chance. And then they say, no. 60 years later, you divorced because now you fed up.
Yeah, when you always kind of knew.
So you just got to know.
I mean, but it's crazy, though, because if you had told, like, let me go, like, 20, 21-year-old me that we would, like, be married and as happy as we were right now, I would not believe you. So I think that sometimes maybe, you get what I'm saying? You got to realize if something is worth fighting for.
I mean, you gotta have non-negotiables too, I suppose, right? There's things that, like, just some things you just gotta set a line.
Yeah, in terms of emotional or physical, any kind of abuse, I think in that situation, then that's when you're supposed to. I don't know. I guess do you believe in therapy?
I do now.
You do now.
Yeah.
Why now?
I'm a life coach.
So because you feel like you learn more about what it's for?
Yeah, so like in my study to better understand my mental state and, you know, other things that we was going through, I really realized there's a bunch of beneficial things out there that if people used it, how much it actually could help their life. And I say people because in order to see if it really worked, I tried it on myself. And my life changed. How I feel about myself changed. Like, my everything changed. Just my awareness.
Yeah.
And I believe, like, if people really took the time to take it serious. But see, this coming from a dude who, like, I completely didn't believe in talking to nobody else about my feelings. Or, like, I just, the idea of therapy was just whack to me. Because it's like, how can this person I don't know tell me about, you know. But, again, it's come back to the system. You know, come back to the system. Like, there's a bunch of different things out there. And I, do I think therapists always get it right? No.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I think it's possible. I believe in therapy, but I think it's possible to have the wrong therapist.
Yeah.
Everything ain't a good match.
Yeah, because some of them be going through their own issues, too, and don't want to accept it.
Yeah.
And that's what, like you said, you have to be matched with the right person.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing the couples thing, because I know a common thing for men is they feel like if they get a woman therapist and she's just going to side with the woman.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get hurt. So, you know, maybe that means getting a male therapist, or maybe that means getting somebody who y'all both feel like, you know what I mean, is a good fit. All right, heck, you can interview a few. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. especially if you're in the military, if you didn't know, they have, what's it, Military One Source?
Yeah.
Military
One. Community Counseling.
Yeah, and you get like 12 free sessions, so we'll link that below too, like, for anyone who didn't know that.
Brain Family Advocacy Program.
Yeah, and I think it's like E5 and below, and we took advantage of that like 2 or 3 times within our marriage, and we learned some things that really helped.
Yeah.
We learned some things that helped. Even, this is gonna sound kind of corny, but we learned that we're supposed to stop and remind when you feel like it's gonna return to argument, remind another person that you're on the same team. And I think I should go back to doing that. I used to, like, it was a time, like, maybe 1 or 2 years ago when I used to literally do that. Like, when we were getting ready to argue, I would look at him and just be like, hey, we're on the same team. I know you're not trying to hurt me. Nothing I'm saying is trying to hurt you. Like, let's just figure this out. And immediately, it was just like, he's not the kind of person that's just gonna, like, give me his ass a kiss, I guess I'll say. So, immediately, it was like we were then able to have a conversation and calm down. But I kind of, I don't know, we kind of got away from that.
Yeah, and getting rid of the you, I, me, my statements.
Yeah.
Like, don't say, like, you made me feel like this. Just say, like, I feel like this. That action made me feel like this because of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because that may not be a person's intent to be harmful. Or sometimes it may be.
Yeah. Maybe it may be. But most times you'll find that if you're married to the right person, I'll say that they, if you know that your spouse has your best intentions at heart, like, think about when you feel lovey-dovey and warm and safe and all the other feelings that you feel when you're with your person. Like, if you know that that person loves you, then in those moments when y'all not seeing eye to eye, you still got to be able to look at them through that love lens, even if you don't feel like it. Because if not, then y'all are just going to constantly be going back and forth, and there's not going to be any happy medium. So I think reminding yourself in those moments, like, why you love that person or why you feel like that person is worth fighting for, you know, will help it.
There's a rule for money. It's called the 10 by 10 rule. So if it costs less than $10, you know, instead of, it's to beat impulse is what it is. So 10 by 10 is if it costs less than $10, you put it down, you wait 10 minutes, and then if you still have that same level of excitement you did initially, then you go ahead and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to say, you know, when it comes to relationships and arguments and disagreements, you apply that 10 by 10 rule as well. Maybe it don't have to be actual 10 minutes or whatever, but sometimes getting away from a heightened state of emotion can allow logic to come into play, and then you'll realize the stuff ain't really worth the argument anyway.
Man, that this is gonna be the last thing we say before we get ready to start wrapping it up. But that made me smile because I'm the kind of person where I need to feel like I have control over my, like, body and my mind and my actions. And sometimes when I get really, really upset, then I feel like I don't, like, have control. You know what that means? Like, I'm, like, crying or I'm, like, yelling, like, and I don't like to act like that. So to me, I'm saying it's better for me to walk away. My husband, because he has abandonment issues, used to hate it in the beginning of our marriage because he felt like, no, Like, if you walking away, you walking out. Like, we got to figure this out. You got to stay right here, right now. And, man, I used to hate it. I used to hate it because I'm like, now you physically, like, ticking me off because, like, you keep trying to talk to me and I don't want to talk to you. You keep trying to be around me and I'm saying I don't want to be around you. And for him, it was, like, a hurtful thing. But for me, it's like, when I'm upset, just give me a minute and I'm going to come right back. It's not like I'm just going to, like, disappear forever. So I feel like we now got into a place where now, you know, he literally, like, will say something, he'll say something, then he'll, like, be like, okay, he'll watch TV, or he'll roll over, he'll go to sleep, and then, you know, if I'm upset, I'll go in the living room for a minute, or do whatever, and then when I come back, then we cuddle and we go to sleep. Like, he learned the art of giving me a second, which I genuinely appreciate, by the way.
Which is important.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's important. And I really appreciate it. Because, you know, sometimes it's like you don't realize how far you come until you, like, have these conversations and you look back on on certain things. So.
Plus, you can't control other people. Like, I had to get to that. Like, at the end of the day, if you was going to leave, you was going to leave. Mm-hmm. Me trying to, like, oh, no, we need to talk about it so we can fix it. Like,
right.
That really didn't fix anything. And so, like. You just got to let, if it's meant to be, you know, you put the work in, maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't.
Yeah.
And if it don't, it don't.
Yeah, I agree. But you just got to know that you're putting your all into it. And that's it. So hopefully we gave you guys a few tools that you guys can use and y'all laughed and had a good conversation with us. We appreciate you guys so much for rocking with us. We have our socials linked below as always. And we'll hopefully see you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.